Thank you, Pastor Kevin. Good morning. My name is Carrie, and I usually worship at the youth congregation across the road. And what our team is here today is to really share our story of our journey. On the 18th of January, our team was in the streets of typhoon-stricken Tacloban. 2 months had passed, but not much had changed. It seemed like Typhoon Haiyan, or Yolanda as it was locally known, had only hit yesterday. Small shacks made of rubble and tarp lined the side of the dirt road by the ocean. "Welcome to Yolanda Village," a smiling man called out to me from one of the shacks. He pointed to a pile of rubble near him. "My house," he said simply. I asked what he would do during the day, and he shrugged. "I drove a van before, but it was washed away. Nothing to do. There's no job." "And what is your greatest need?" I asked him, as I had asked many before him. "Work," was the reply. It amazed me that in the midst of all this devastation and suffering, work was still on his mind. He saw it as the answer, a way out, and hope. Last year, fresh out of uni, I began eagerly looking for a job in the area of events management. And after many months of searching and applying for various positions, I began to really think about work, and is it really just a job that I do? Why should I work? In reality, I enjoy working for Him in ministry with like-minded individuals a lot more. Have you ever asked yourself why you work? If you have, then perhaps your answer was similar to my original thinking: to earn a living and survive, or to do something you enjoyed, perhaps gaining meaning or success in the process. The more I thought about it, the more it seemed that there was a divide between my church life and my work life. Work seemed like an interruption to my sacred life, a means to an end, a way to support myself while I could be a Christian. I thought this way until I came across this verse in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." I recently became the events manager for a small marketing agency. And this workplace was made up of young professionals who worked in a cutthroat profession that was highly profit-driven. Everything we worked for amounted to, how much profit are we making? Are we reaching sales targets? Being a Christ follower meant following him daily, but 5 days of my week would be devoted to working in a secular environment, doing a secular job with secular people. But I also felt strongly convicted and called to be a Christ follower in my workplace, which was also so needy for God. How can I be a Christ follower 100% of my life, including the 40-odd hours I spend at work each week? How is the way that I manage events as a Christian going to be different to others? As a Christian employee, how do I live out the call and be a light in my workplace through my work? How does being a Christ follower become reality for you in your workplace, be it a law firm, a small business, a marketing agency, in your school, or even at home as a parent or a retiree? Over the past year, our team have journeyed through our training and experiences in Manila, learning and seeking ways to be light in the dark places of our world, especially our workplaces, and to be more effective in using our skills in the workplaces, our mission field, so that through our work, we may truly worship Him. I will now invite the team to share 5 perspectives that have impacted us as to how work can be a powerful and relational tool in workplaces or mission fields, and how work as mission, or work as worship, is not just a cliche, but a way to truly worship, glorify Him, and live the call, a call that each of us as Christ followers are called to strive for. So I will now invite our team, starting with Uncle Jeremy, to share with you their stories.
Good morning, everyone. I'm the uncle from the Mandarin congregation. It was July 2006. It was dark and extremely humid, with rain leaking in from the roof at numerous spots, as Dr. Cynthia Tianco Balite reached for a pair of pliers Sorry. It's a long name, isn't it? For a pair of pliers with sweat streaming down her face. In the glow of torchlight, she reached into the patient's mouth and tucked at the rotting tooth she was attempting to extract. The patient was seated on a simple folding chair in a crowded tin shack in a squatter community called San Buena in Manila. Vinay, and our Vinay over there, who was holding the patient's head, frowned perhaps partly at he was seeing, and partly due to the muscle power required to hold the patient's head steady. After what seemed like an eternity of pulling and tugging, the rotten tooth gave way. This was the first dental mission being held in San Buena, and the struggle in extracting that tooth seemed to typify Dr. Cynthia's efforts in reaching out to people through her skills and position. Dr. Cynthia has twice been voted as the president of the Philippines Dentist Association, a position of great influence and prestige, and one that she is able to capitalize on to get the support of other dentists and organizations to partner with her to give free or low-cost dental services to the poor, including dental missions in San Buena and to those who live in the more remote areas. These efforts do not come by easily for Dr. Cynthia and her fellow dentists that help out on such occasions. They do come at a cost, the cost of being away from family, from the income of their practice, which would shut down due to their absence, the cost of equipment and materials required to treat people, transport, food, and accommodation, let alone the cost of time and energy. For Dr. Cynthia, business is not just about profit. It is about benefiting and serving people. She consciously strives to be salt and light in her workplace. Her clinic is a place for encouragement, a solace for hope, and a channel for blessings. Through her prayers and the sharing of her faith, she testified that people have been brought to Christ. Dr. Cynthia is very passionate for the Lord. For her, work and mission are inseparable. She has allowed God to use her position for His purposes in her work. I have been greatly challenged by this godly woman. I asked God that in school He would give me the words for the people to hear so that they can live with hope. I pray that God would give me wisdom and courage to share my faith with teachers and students alike in a non-threatening way. I hope you too have been challenged by Dr. Cynthia's testimony. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Thank you.
Morning, guys. I'm Meng, and I'm from the Hmong congregation. Ate Meng. Ate in Filipino is older sister. Ate Meng, my parents are divorced and I was abandoned by them so they could start a new life with their partners. These were the words I heard from Warren's mouth, one of the boys who lived with Ate Tess.
I learned that in the Philippines, being abandoned by your parents is common. But thanks to ArtoTess and a love for God, many of these children have a chance of being loved and an opportunity to education. ArtoTess is a pastoress and has only one biological son. She and 9 other people live in her small cement house, which consists of 3 small rooms in San Bueno, where the slums are. But from the very beginning, when she had started working, ArtoTess continuously and persistently served the Lord. One of her servers to God was, and still is, welcoming street children who had come from traumatic and devastating circumstances into her home as her children. As I listen to Warren telling me his life, it is clear to me that this beautiful woman is our modern-day Mother Teresa. Through the inspiration of her love for God, her love pours out to these children, no matter how dim or poor her current situation may be. Whatever she has, she gives. Her endurance for serving God does not wither, but only continues to grow stronger. Her servitude and faith in God has challenged me in a way that I can't be comfortable. God didn't bring me into this world to be comfortable, but to fight. Fight for those who can't fight for themselves. Help those who do not know where to find help, and love those who do not feel loved. As I return to work, I remember that I am in my workplace to glorify God, love his people, and continue to update my skills as a nurse so I can serve him, utilizing my skills wherever I go. How is your job glorifying God? Are you working to benefit others, or are you working towards a job that pays you more? Your daily work is ultimately an act of worship to God, who called and equipped you to do what he wants you to do, no matter what kind of work it is. In 1 Corinthians 7:17, nevertheless, each one should retain the place in the life that the Lord assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. I want to share a quote that reminds me of ArtoTess and gives me more focus and encouragement while working in my workplace. When I see God as my primary security, then my work becomes less about survival and more about faithfulness to him. If God ever reduces my ability to work, then I know that he's going to be the one who provides for me, because ultimately he's my provider, not my job. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Lee from the youth. It's scary not knowing what tomorrow holds. It's saddening knowing you may not have an education, was what I heard over and over again in Manila. On the 5th day of our trip, during the late evening, I was sitting with a 9-year-old girl by the name of Rena Joy. Although young, she was very smart and very mature for her age. We talked about her school life and about her family. Rena Joy comes from a not-so-well-off family. Her family lives in San Bernard, a squatter area. Coming from a poor background, and especially being a female, it was very lucky for her to have the opportunity to have an education. During the middle of our conversation, she suddenly smiled and her face lit up at this particular person. This is what she said to me. Ate Lee. She pointed straight ahead. Sponsor. That person is my sponsor, the one wearing low pants. I looked over to see a man dressed in shorts and a shirt, sitting down talking to some of my team members. He sponsored me so I can go to school. After that sentence, it felt like I'd just been slapped across my face by my school motto, diligence and integrity. I've been doing the total opposite, slacking off from schoolwork and even faking to be sick to stay away from school. Many times I've been told to study hard and to appreciate school. But I've always taken advantage of that, because whether I like it or not, I'll always end up in school. But after hearing Rena Joy, I felt so shameful. I felt like I was a 9-year-old and she was a 15-year-old. Now knowing education does not come by easily at all there, I want to change how I view things and how I live. I want to live to be a Bible for the people around me to read, because I may be the only Bible that people will ever read. As it says in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. I'm studying hard now, using my gifts and skills to glorify Him. And I pray for Rona that she may grow to inspire and to prosper physically and spiritually. Thank you.
G'day. Now it's the old one. Yeah, my name is Phil, and I come from this congregation. And I'd like to just share a bit about a little girl called Ziva. Ziva's mum grew up in a poor, underprivileged community in Manila, and she left home and to become a house help. But she became pregnant, and so she was rejected by her family, not supported because of her pregnancy. Now, her work as a housemaid paid just enough to get by, but she suffered from diabetes. She was going to have a complex pregnancy. She'd be unable to afford the extra cost involved in keeping her and the baby safe during her delivery. Now, through a friend, she was told about a clinic in Manila called Shipra. Shipra is named after one of the women who helped the Hebrews have their babies in Egypt before the Exodus. Now, Shipra provides nutritional support, birthing information and assistance for underprivileged or unsupported community women. It was founded and is run by an amazing Canadian lady called Jerry. Jerry soon established that Risa would need serious medical care during her delivery, and this care would cost several thousand pesos, and this was money that Jerry did not have at her disposal. Now, during Risa's third trimester, she was still at work, and she began to go into labour, and she began to bleed. She called Jerry. And Jerry was in a conference at the time, and Jerry said, get to the hospital. Risa said, but I've got no money. And so Jerry said, you've got to get to the hospital. Now, Jerry commanded her to go immediately, she said, and bleed on their floor if you have to. They'll do something to help you. Anyway, they will care for you. Don't worry about the money. However, Risa was paralysed by her inability to pay, even though she was in great danger of losing her baby and her life. Now, the texts flew back and forward from Risa to Jerry with an increasing combination of apprehension, fear and anger. Jerry finally texted, just go now. Now, Pat, a Filipino-American sitting next to Jerry at the conference, noted her increasing tension and frustration and during a break asked if she was okay. Jerry told him the entire story and how Risa would require a lot of medical care that was expensive and that they were unable to pay for it. So he asked Jerry how much it would cost. And she said she didn't know, but he responded, would 50,000 pesos be a good place to start? Now, so Jerry said absolutely and texted Risa that she should go to the hospital immediately because they had the money. A few days and 250 pesos later, Risa gave birth to Ziva and both are doing well. Now, we're looking at new work, the new power for work. Now, because a Canadian history teacher and mother of six with a passion for natural childbirth followed God's leading to educate, empower and support the women and families in her community, many lives have been saved and improved. She and her team are making an incredible difference. Now, is it worth it? Absolutely. New life and new hope have been given through the power of the Holy Spirit, where life and hope were so lacking. Now, this has taught me where God calls, he empowers and he provides. It's his work. And as quoted in Every Good Endeavor by Timothy Keller, Jesus came to redeem and heal the world, and he united his disciples to be part of this project. Therefore, they had a freedom to embrace or walk away from their work as needs required. They had a new freedom from their work and in their work. And this, the Lord showed me, was he wants obedience, not duty, but obedience to what he calls you to do. Through the Holy Spirit, Jerry has accessed this new powerful work, a new passion which leads her to excel in what she and her team do. This also offers a deeper kind of rest because her work emanates from God. It changes what work is, and it has reorientated her ethical compass. Her motives are God's heart for these families, not the money that can be made from their care. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Ko posi Mila. I am Mila, and I worship at the youth congregation. So, there are many different types of Christians in the world. Those who seek their calling from God, those who hear it and ignore it, and then those who hear it don't want to do it, but does anyway. On the 8th of January 2014, the team met a modern-day Jonah. We call her Ate Nanette. Ate Nanette's wail came through a phone call insisting her to do the one thing she didn't ever want to do, to teach. Eventually, the wail spat her out and she obediently lived out her call by establishing a home-based classroom designed specifically to educate foreign missionaries on the Filipino culture and language. This year marks her 18th year of being a successful educator for God. As a teacher-to-be, I am in absolute awe of Ate Nanette's acquired yet undying passion to teach and to love her students from all over the world, and to do it in a way that glorifies our God. She had a never-ending smile, ability to make anyone laugh, and a huge heart which was portrayed through her teaching. And these are the things that I want to be as a teacher. But not just because of her joyful spirit, also because I was actually able to see his glory and his purpose emanating from her work. The sheer fact that Ate Nanette gave her once undesired career a refreshed purpose for God has allowed her to attain what we recognize as a new compass for work. By finding a new direction to give all her work and purpose to God, he was able to reward Ate Nanette's servant heart with a deep love and passion for teaching. I'm going to leave you with a passage from 1 Corinthians 3, 12 to 15. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Is it time for you to find a new compass for work? Thank you.
So thank you for the team to share their stories. And I just want to tie up with that. Often we see work as almost a necessary evil, but work existed right from the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, and then verse 15, thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. Work is relevant to us because we were created to work. Right in the beginning, God worked and he created us for that. As you have heard from the team, Work provides opportunities for us to serve and worship, and also opportunities for us to live out our lives as Christ followers. The workplace gives us access to people and places which would otherwise not be possible. It is a place where we can evangelize, build relationships, and shine as lights. For example, in Manila, we heard this one particular story of two overseas Filipino workers. They were two maids who worked in the palace of King Fahd, who at the time was the king of Saudi Arabia. And being Filipinos who knew English well, they were instructed to teach King Fahd's children English whenever possible. And being Christians, most of the English they knew came from the Bible stories. So before bed, they would read the children Bible stories. And at the end of the term, they returned home for a short period. And during this time, King Fahd's children would not sleep without their bedtime stories. So King Fahd was obliged to read his children's stories from the Bible during their absence. And this story makes me think of Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Through their unique roles as maids, they were able to shine God's light into the palace of a Muslim ruler. They were not pastors or clergymen or missionaries, but rather than accepting their work as it was, they took extreme risk and grasped the opportunity through teaching English Bible stories to shine God's light into their workplace. What does work mean to you? I now understand that my workplace is my God-given mission field for the present time. A place where I am called to be a light and glorify him in order to live the call. In his book, Every Good Endeavor, Timothy Keller says, work is a way and place to express our relationship with God and his grace to us through the way we speak, work, and lead. Not as perfect exemplars, but as pointers to Christ. We are not perfect exemplars, but we have joined together as a group of people who are willing to be discipled and grow as Christ followers in our workplace. For some of us, this workplace is our education institution, and for others, even retirement. But if you too have a heart for global mission, I am hoping and praying that you would join us in living the call. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for putting us in our workplaces, wherever they may be. We know that it's not a coincidence or an accident, but that you have put us there for a purpose. And Lord, we just pray that in our workplaces we can have boldness and courage to live as Christians and Christ followers. And Lord, we pray that you help us to be exemplars and pointers to you through the way we work, speak, and lead. And Lord, for those of us seeking work still, we pray that you have a perfect plan and perfect timing. And we pray that you continue to lead those people to find the place that you have in store for them. We also pray for the people that we met in Manila, who were showing leadership and through their work. And Lord, we pray that they'll continue to impact those around them in their workplaces and those that they meet as well through mission trips. Lord, we commit all of this into your name. Amen.
Well, do your work. I just want to add my voice to what's been said this morning and just reinforce it. All that God has been saying to us through his word, through their testimonies, through the stories. So in the week ahead, let me encourage you, as you're standing in the middle of your situation, because let's face it, every one of us have wonderful moments at work and miserable moments at work. Even people like me who work as a Christian worker, wonderful moments, miserable moments. And in the midst of it, I dare you, I challenge you to stop and say, God, you have put me here for your glory. I choose to worship you. And just see what happens. God confronted Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet. He revealed himself in all his glory to Isaiah. And we sang a song this morning that gave us the opportunity to see God. Holy, 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 we sang this morning. And in that context, God said, who will go for me? And we so often interpret that as, yep, I want to get out of here, I will go somewhere else. And indeed, in the way God speaks to many of us, that's the end result. Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." And in the midst of whatever we're doing in our 24/7 now, here am I, Lord, send me. Thanks, guys. It was good just to hear your heart and to get something of what you were exposed to. And Phil, come and lead us as we conclude.